I want to read this narrative of Mark chapter 4, familiar to many of us. Verse 35, it should be on the screen. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Everybody say, "the other side." Hold that in your mind as we keep on reading. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him, Jesus, along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" My message to you today is, your peace matters. Your peace matters. I did a little bit of research in the time that I had, and we all face storms, and the storms cause unrest. They did in this text as well. Life presents us with various storms. It could be sickness. It could be financial trouble. It could be relational conflict. It could be internal battles, like anxiety or doubt. And these storms threaten us in our most deep integrity of our faith. They cause us to second guess and to doubt by seeing and viewing circumstances. Now, I will not ask you, please do not do this. I'm not asking you to ignore the circumstance and live in denial. Ignoring reality is not faith. Faith is seeing the storm and remembering that Jesus is in my boat. And so I looked up some statistics. In 2019, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, an estimated 19.1%, so 19% of U.S. adults, had dealt with something that had been labeled an anxiety disorder. That's roughly 50 million people, 48.7 million to be exact. And so I was curious about what happened in the years following. And so I looked this up. And the CDC reported that during August of 2020 through the end of 2021, so about 15, 17 months, there was an incredible surge in the symptoms of anxiety disorder. And from 2019 to the end of 2021, we went from 19% in the United States to over 41%. We more than doubled. So nearly 100 million people. 4 out of 10 are dealing with this issue of anxiety and distress. 25% are dealing with something that is like depression. So we're facing storms. This text is so relevant to us. You might not be in a physical storm in a boat, but what I've observed in our church right now is that many people are going through some incredible storms. And what I believe God wants to communicate with us right now is that He's in the boat and peace is available and your peace matters. It matters. And I believe that God wants to do some things in this room as it relates to peace. And I'm going to read you a few passages of scripture that, because this was so last minute, I didn't want to tax the media team, but I want to read these texts to you. Let me just go through Mark really quickly. These storms that we face must be dealt with. And amidst the tempest, I want you to know that Jesus, if you've invited him in, he's in the boat. He's in the room. He's in your home. He's in your heart, if you've invited him in. But here's what's really tempting. It's tempting to have the mindset of the disciples, and I've been there, and wonder, where is Jesus in my storm? Is he sleeping? Has he forgotten about me? Why is all this going on? Remember I asked you to hold that phrase in your mind, the other side? Jesus gave them direction to go someplace and get to the other side, I believe knowing a storm was going to come. Why not just have them take a detour? Why not walk or take a camel or go a different direction? Why go right through the center of a very tumultuous, scary moment? Why do that? I'm not sure that I'm wise enough to answer that, but here's what I know. Jesus is not afraid of the storm, and he has power and authority over it in our lives if we yield to him. He said, we're going to the other side. What is really captivated my mind is all the times when God has given direction, the next thing I know, I'm stepping into a tough circumstance. And it distracts me to the point that I forget, but then I have to remind myself, and I came here to remind you, if you're walking through the most difficult season of your life, I want you to know it's temporary, and Jesus has never left you. He hasn't forgotten you. He is not asleep on the job. He's there ready, willing, and able. We just have to get our eyes off the storm and back onto him and let him do his thing in our life in his time and ensure that he gets all the glory. Look at what Jesus says. Or look what they say when he's asleep on the boat. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, just pause. It's easy to judge these guys sitting in the safety of 2023, not in a boat. Remembering that these guys are fishermen, so they've naturally been around the water. If a fisherman starts to get scared, you got problems. Oh, years ago, I went to Honduras on a missions trip, and we got into some bad weather, and we were flying in a little aircraft. It was about like maybe 15 of us in the aircraft, and it was so small there was no door on the cockpit, so you could see the pilots. I had fallen asleep. And it got really, really messy. And they woke me up, and I'm like, I wish you would have just let me sleep, because I didn't want to deal with all this stuff. And so the plane's panicking. It's all people that I know. It's friends and students. And I'm staying pretty calm. It's pretty rough. I mean, it's the most turbulent thing that I've been in, well, with one other exception. Maybe I should tell you about that too. But I stayed calm until I looked up and saw the pilots, and they weren't looking out the front windshield. They were looking back at us, and the look on their face was not good. That's when I started getting nervous. When the pilot's looking backward, they done gave up. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I mean, I don't want to go down, but if this is the way it happens, you know, this is the way it happens. I don't know. I mean, it was scary. The other time, my family and I, my mother's from Italy, some of you know this. I'll come back in a moment. Felt like I'm getting a little too heavy, but let me lighten it up a little bit. We went to my senior year in high school. We spent a month in Europe. We were Germany, Switzerland, and Italy. We flew into Germany, and as we flew into Frankfurt, we flew into a blizzard, and we couldn't land, and so we were circling for 45 minutes. And I didn't have any Dramamine, and I get really motion sick if I'm not careful, and I was getting sick. And about 40 minutes in, I'd had all I could have. You all know that feeling? I don't want to be graphic, but like I started sweating, and I resisted all I could resist, and my body was going to win. My body was winning. And so I went to get sick and grab my air sickness bag, and I had forgotten 4 or 5 hours earlier I had put a big wad of gum in it. And I went to open it, and I couldn't open it. And there was no stopping what was coming. I was on an aisle. And so I turned and got sick in the aisle. And it set off a chain reaction in the whole plane. No bueno. No bueno. So we've all been in storms of some kind, and we can't judge these guys in some kind of vacuum where we expect them to do it perfectly when we do it imperfectly. And I've been in those moments, and I've had the thought, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm going through this? I want to show you something, because one of the enemies of peace is chaos and disorder. Watch this. I believe the biggest enemy of peace is fear. I grew up in a home maybe like you did, in a family culture like maybe you did, where our care was synonymous with our concerns and our love. In other words, the more you care, the more you love. And the disciples get mad and say, Jesus, don't you care? And Jesus said, why were you afraid? Let me drill down a little bit deeper. When you get a bad report or you have a friend or family member who goes through something, it's easy to make your care synonymous with worry. The more you love, the more you worry. I come from a long line of world champion warriors, and that was their love language. Except it was a hindrance to them experiencing God's peace, because worry gets in the way. Worry gets in the way. And Jesus talks about this. How can any of you change anything by worry? You can't. Jesus, we know, he calms the storm with a word, and he calls out faith in the midst of the fear. And then he rebukes the disciples for a lack of faith. I think that's a little harsh in some ways, but then maybe then again it's not too harsh. Maybe when we read something that Jesus says and it's bitey, maybe it doesn't mean he's harsh. Maybe it means we're soft. Praise the Lord. Maybe we need to strengthen ourselves. And when we get that sensitive nature when God is doing something and we recoil back, we're really saying, don't you care how I feel? Don't you care what's going on? We're really questioning probably God's love for us in that moment. And if we're questioning him, we can't receive from him to the degree that he wants to provide for us. Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm going through this? And really, you can get a large pity party around you to give you something that you really don't need at times. Well, Josh, that's not very kind. It's not very empathetic. Well, it is if we see that our oversensitivity could be a barrier to really hearing what Jesus is saying to us about that situation. He's saying the peace comes when the fear leaves and the faith rises. Peace be still, he says. He rebukes them. When fear seems to overwhelm them and overwhelm us, we have to rely on the reality of what we sang about a few moments ago, that he will never fail us. I'm going to ask Daniel to come up, and I want to finish with just reading you some texts, verses of Scripture, not text messages. She just said that better. And I want you to work at not being distracted. And this is what I believe is going to happen. I could take a lot of time and try to talk through this even more, but really all I want to do is I want to read some verses of Scripture over you. Because God's Word, by His Spirit, is the thing I believe we need most to receive the peace that He has for us. Your peace matters. And over this whole series, we've talked about these one words mattering in three categories. They matter to God, they matter to your church and others, and it matters to you. Your peace matters to God. Why? Because He bought and paid for it. It matters. He paid for it when He laid down His life for us, that you would have what the Hebrew word says is shalom. Peace in every area. In the middle of the storm, church, you can have peace. Because it matters to God. He paid for it. Think about it. You don't need peace when everything's going good. You need peace when everything's going wrong. Because that's when disorder and chaos erupts in your soul. Is when the kids have gone wild, the doctors have said something bad, you've experienced a tragic shock and loss. That's when you need the peace. And I came to you with a heart that is observant of, it seems as though there's just overtime work on us as a church right now to rob us of our peace. And I think it's connected to something I said when I talked to you about our words matter, because I drew a line in the sand and you drew a line in the sand at different moments during this series and during this year of we're going to do the will of God. And I've taught you that every time you say yes to doing the will of God, all hell will break loose in your life. I drew a line in the sand and dealt with the thoughts of, man, COVID cost you. You lost people, and all this stuff bombarding my mind. Remember I told you that? I want to say it again, that I was saying the wrong things because I wasn't seeing clearly. I said, we lost people. Lord, what? Don't you care? You seeing it? I lost peace. We got like 12 staff members. You lose people, you lose resources sometimes. I'm just talking plain to you. Lord, don't you care? We lost people. I don't mean I heard a voice, but God said back to me, how do you know you lost people? It's not over yet. Didn't I say I'd build my church and the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it? Isn't that what God said over His church, that He would build it? And I realized I took on a responsibility that was not mine. My job is to hear and obey, and that's it. It's His job to build it. And so I drew a line in the sand and said, okay, we're going to double. We're going to double in the next 12 months. We're going to double in people. We're going to double in leaders. We're going to double in people serving. We're going to double in resources. Why? Because God's a great big God. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. And I just had to switch that and get it right. And as soon as I said that, I almost feel apologetic, but I don't. Because what I know is right on the other side of this turmoil and chaos is breakthrough. That's what I had to remind myself of. Every time stuff starts to brew, God's working. And I said that, and as soon as, I'm not taking any of the credit. I'm just telling you what was going on in my mind. I felt responsible. Like, man, we're going after it, and now the enemy's doing this. You can see it. And I'm not devil conscious, but I am sharp enough to know when people are going through struggle. And I cannot promise you that the situation that has caused the unrest will be fixed. But here's what I can know from Scripture, is that your peace matters, and that it matters to God. He bought and paid for it. Listen to me, church, believer. The peace of God belongs to you. It's yours. It's just as yours as anything else on this planet. And I want to ask God to help give you the reality of that in a greater measure today than you've ever had. The peace of God belongs to you. You don't have to live in unrest. You can go through grief and still have peace. Why? Because we don't mourn like those who don't have any hope. We have a blessed hope. We can go through battles. We can go through storms with a different mindset, a different attitude, and a different spirit. Why? Because we've got the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. We've got the Creator of heaven and earth that bought and paid for us many times over. Like, we have these true and precious promises. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Just listen real carefully. You keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Isaiah 53, 3, speaking of Jesus, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Listen, church. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The chastisement, the payment, the punishment of our peace, he bore. He bought it and paid for it with his own blood. The peace of God is given to us in that atonement. John 14, 27, Jesus himself says it this way: peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. So watch this. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 16, 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Colossians 3, 15. And the peace of God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. I want to read one more that I didn't pronounce. Romans chapter 15. Your peace matters. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice the connection between joy and peace and what you believe. Now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. What are you believing? Are you believing that he's able? You believe he's in the boat? Need to be reminded he's in the boat? Sometimes you, if you're not careful, you get stuck in a comfortable Christianity. And you got the cross around your neck. But you've forgotten about the benefits that he brought and don't hold them in your heart. Yeah, I'm a Christian. It's a label. And you just kind of go through life with that assumption and that kind of understanding. Yeah, I'm a believer. I follow Jesus. I love Jesus. Yeah, but I need someone to know today. He's not just a placard and a placeholder on our life. He's in the boat. He's in the boat. He's in your life. He's everywhere I go. And the storms are raging and the circumstances are uncomfortable and it's not going the way we thought it should go. And right there he is in the boat with the authority to calm the storm. And the God of peace in those moments will fill your heart with joy and peace as you believe.